All right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thankful to be here with you all this morning and to share with you the blessings of this uniting of Brother Brian and Sister Brianna. I'm just glad you could be here to take part of this with them. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy that you've given to us. We pray that you would help us to return that goodness and mercy to others and to yourself, and help us to be faithful to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom as we open your word today. We thank you again for your goodness to us, your blessings. Help us to be faithful in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Like I said, just a real blessing to be here with you all this morning. And let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll begin verse 22. In the prayer that Jesus told us how to pray, he said, "Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We believe that when Jesus came, that he came to bring his kingdom to the earth. And that's what the church is. That's the part of what Jesus came to do, is to bring his kingdom to this earth. And this portion that I'm going to read here talks about marriage like Christ and the church. And you know, the Bible teaches us that heaven, what we like to think of as heaven, is a prepared place for a prepared people. I've heard that phrase before. I'm sure you've all heard it. You know, what if we got to heaven and people didn't love each other? People fought and they hated each other. They would steal from each other. They would cause all kinds of problems to each other. That wouldn't be heaven, would it? I mean, whatever people might imagine or think about heaven, or whatever we might believe about it, about all the wonderful trappings there, the gold and streets of gold and all those things. But what if it had all of those things and people acted ugly towards one another? People weren't respectful. People didn't love each other. In fact, they hated each other. In one part of the prayer, Jesus talked about that we will be forgiven like we forgive. That if we wouldn't forgive, we will not be forgiven. Can you imagine in eternity having a grudge for all eternity? Just hating someone in your mind or in your heart because you wouldn't forgive them. That wouldn't be heaven at all. It'd be just like this place. And so the focus of what this union is all about is to be a picture of the kingdom of God right here on this earth. That's what Christianity is supposed to represent. It's not some just place you go to church. It's not just religion. It's not just being real strict. It's not just having love and it's all about me going to heaven. Christianity is about us becoming like Christ. Like, it's about us becoming a part of the kingdom of God right now. And that's what we're supposed to be representing as Christians. And that's what we're supposed to be in this world. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. If we don't have the kingdom of God in our hearts now, we won't belong in heaven. Because we're going to take the same old garbage that we've got in our hearts now with us. And that's what I just wanted to as I talk to Brian and Brianna, that as they prepare themselves to become one, that the goal here is not just to have a marriage, but the goal is to prepare each other and for eternity, and to prepare each other to help each other as they have children, as they are an influence in the community and in the neighborhood. Jesus said to be the salt of the earth, the preserving part of this world that keeps it from just corrupting upon itself. I've just been amazed at how just a little bit of light and a little bit of goodness and a little bit of just lifts the standard all around. If we will just be our part of that. And if you all can create a family and create a home where you can be that kind of a light, an example, that be a part, represent the kingdom of God in all that you say and do. Verse 22, it says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything." Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and she and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Some very simple instructions here. One thing I want to point out, usually I've read this passage several times, and oftentimes I'll read it, and it says, "Were the wife to be subject to your own husband? The husband is the head of the wife." I'll ask the women, or I'll ask the men, what they heard about this. And then the verse later, it says, "The husband is to love his own wife as his own body, like Christ loved the church." And I'll ask a group of people what they heard about this. And almost always the women will say, "The husband should love his wife just like Christ loved the church." And the women will always say that, or the man will always say, "The wife should respect her husband and obey him." We all hear what we want from somebody else. We all hear what we want or expect the other person to do. But that's not what the Bible is all about. That's not what God is trying to teach us. He's trying to prepare us to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so that whenever a message is to the man ought to be hearing his part, and the woman ought to be hearing her part. And when both people hear their parts and do their part, guess what? Everything just works beautifully. But when, like we often so often do, we hear somebody else's part and don't do our part, guess what? Our part gets neglected. And right there, you have a friction. Right off the bat. And then if the other person hears the other person's part and doesn't do it, then they don't do their part. Well, they've got friction, and guess what? Right off the bat, it's just a selfish relationship that is all about me. And that's what Jesus said. If we're going to follow Him, the first thing we have to do is deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. Denying ourselves is how, whenever we just do our part, when everyone does their part, things work together. Things work the way they're supposed to. Whenever Jesus gave us, when the Lord gave us marriage, it said this is a mystery, but it is a picture of Christ in the church. And when we're doing our part the way we're supposed to here, you know, everyone wants to be saved. Everyone wants the good things. They all want the blessings. Nobody that gets married, everybody that gets married wants to have a beautiful relationship and a beautiful marriage. And they have these ideas of what their marriage is going to be about. But oftentimes it comes down to that it doesn't turn out quite the way that they thought it would or they thought it should. The person doesn't act the way I thought they should, or vice versa. And the focus is on how the other person ought to act instead of my part in this. And if the Bible has anything, it's not just about us not going to hell. It's not just about us being saved. It's about us being changed. It's about us being like God. Because that's what He's about. He's doing His part, and He's made a beautiful offer for us to unite with Him and to become like Him. He doesn't need improved. He just needs followed. And that's what the blessing is of the kingdom of God. There's a lot of talk about love. And you know, love is probably one of the most perverted words that there ever has been. I've noticed a lot of things that if you really look at what love is, you know, if I was to ask you, I mean, if you talk to someone that's in love, you ask them about their love, and you ask them, why do you love this person? And most of the time, they will say, because of the way he makes me feel. Or because of the way she makes me feel. And I just want to ask you, who is loved in that situation? If I love the way someone makes me feel, who do I really love? It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about myself. And that won't work. That will not work. We see that all over the world. Whenever people are so worried about themselves, they're not worried about anyone else. Love is when I commit myself to another person for their good, not mine. That's what real love is. That's what Jesus did when he came into the earth and gave himself. He wasn't going around with this gushy feeling for us all the time. He didn't just swoon and have stars in his eyes about us, thinking about us all the time. That's not what he did. He came into this world, this wicked world, this dangerous world, self-involved, self-governed, just no concern for anyone else. He came into this world to deliver us from that, to deliver us from ourselves. And he gave himself so that we could return to him, to set us free. Satan's got this world in bondage. It's got it in chains. He came to set us free from all of that. Not just to save us, not just to get us to go to church, not just to teach us religion and a bunch of rules, but to actually teach us to love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourself. You know, when everyone would just, if everyone would just follow that, there wouldn't be any wars. There wouldn't be any fussing around and arguing. The heart of problems, there's somebody selfish. There's somebody worried about themselves instead of someone else. And that's how you have the relationships that I've seen are people who have lost themselves. You know, even if one person does it, many times it'll still work. Many times it'll work. If one person will just do their part, it'll kind of hobble along and it might not even work, but it's got a lot more chance than two people doing their own thing. But when we lose ourselves, we give ourselves to one another for the good. That's what true love is being faithful. Being faithful. A lot of the worldly vows, whenever they talk about marriage, they say that they've made their own vows, but in the vows that most people have taken, it says that I promise that I'll, for richer, for poorer, for sickness, in a sickness and in health, for better and worse, I'm going to be loyal to you. Isn't that what we say whenever we say those things? We hardly, you know, we say them and it's a beautiful little ceremony. But does it mean anything? Do we actually think about what we're saying anymore? Or has it just become the tradition that that's what we say? And so now we're married because we said those things. But what we say, God hears what we say. And whenever we make a vow, He hears us make that vow. And that's, all the laws and rules aside, if we would just love each other for richer or poorer. You know, sometimes what He's saying is, you know, you might be successful in life. You might really have it together. And it's all right to stay hooked there, isn't it? But what about poor? Poor? You mean I have to stay hooked poor? Poorer than I am now. Most people, when they get married, they don't have a lot. But poorer? I've still got to stay hooked? Sickness and in health. You know, we all love good health. We appreciate feeling good. And it's easy to get along with people when we're feeling good, but what about when we're sick? There's some pretty drastic requirements here that we're promising that we're going to do. And all these promises are is defining love. That I'm going to be committed and faithful to you. Good times, bad times. Sick, health. And then the last is for better. You know, we all want to marry someone that gets better, don't we? We all want someone better to get better. Oh, they're so nice. They're, you know, you get married to them and they're just wonderful. And all you want is for them to get better. Isn't that wonderful? To get better. I'll stay with them for sure if they get better. You bet. But what if they get worse? What if all those big castles you had, and you start seeing the pimples, and you start seeing all of the things that's wrong with them? They got worse. Love is not concerned about what you can do for me. It's what I can do for you. To lose myself and give myself someone else. And so a marriage is two people uniting together, making the commitments that it doesn't matter what you do to me, I'm going to be faithful to you. You know, some people say the vows, well, she didn't keep her part of the vows, or he didn't keep. You mean they got worse? Yeah, they got worse. But my love is not about how I feel about a person. My love is not what you can do for me. The Lord's love, our love, is not about that. Real love is not about that. It's being faithful, being loyal, being committed, no matter how you treat me. The Bible tells us a story about a young man that his father had an inheritance for him, and this father, he asked the father, "Give me my inheritance." And the boy took the inheritance and he went away to a far country. And the Bible says it wasted his money on riotous living, just partying, all of it, whole thing. Did that father love that son? Yes, he did. He loved him. The son went away. And all the love that father had for that son was still there. He couldn't help the son at all anymore. He had to let the son make all of his own decisions, do his own thing, have his own way. He had to let it go because he loved him. You see, God's not going to force us to do anything. You have a choice. You can be good, you can be bad. And your decisions will hurt people or they will help people. And God lets that happen because you have a free will. You have a choice in all that. You have a choice. You are responsible for those things. This boy went away. The father let him go. He loved him, but he was at a point where he could not help him. That's a helpless situation, to let someone go, to make their own choices. But that's what love does, is lets them make it. Love, he couldn't do anything for him. The boy finally got to a place where he wound up in the pig pen, wishing he could share the pig's food. And he just came to himself. Well, my father's got servants that eat better than this. I'll go back to him. And guess what? The father was standing there. I believe he saw him way off. And he went running to him and invited him, welcomed him back home because he had returned home. Some people say, oh, God loves us no matter what we do. God's love is not on trial. God's love is waiting for us to return to Him. He's waiting, watching. But as long as we're in the pig pen, He can't help us. All that He can do is hope that we would come back. Call us, maybe ask us to come back. But He can't help us. We've made our decisions. We've made our choices. But when he came back, he was ready to give him that love. That's just a little picture of what God talks about when it's love. You know, we dismiss love because it's so commercialized and so romanticized. But if any of you have been married long, the romantic stuff don't last very long, does it? That's when it comes down to a commitment. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a commitment. And that's why we try to say these vows, to teach people, to show people that it's not just a commitment until I don't feel good anymore. That's why we say, until death do us part. That's what the world has come up with as their definition. And it stands behind what Jesus taught about it. So, just want you, as you enter this union together, that you know what this means. That you're committing yourselves to love each other, not yourselves. That's what God expects from you. That's what's going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And if we can't handle it here, it's going to be tough. We might just not be able to handle it in eternity. So we've made mistakes. God's willing to let us change now. The word repent's another one of those words. Nobody knows what it means, but it simply means quit doing what you're doing wrong. Quit loving yourself. Start doing what God made you to do. That's to love each other. To love one another. To love Him. And to love your neighbor as yourself. You have an example here to do that. You have an opportunity to be the light and the salt of the earth. What a glorious thing to have that responsibility to be that. And we expect that, hope for that for you. And we all hope that for ourselves. Well, maybe we'll give this time. Y'all can come up here and